Good evening, everyone. We are continuing our class on Tefillah, and today we'll be starting the discussion about the first bracha of the Shemona Esrei. And again, what I'll be sharing with you comes from the classes given by Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and what I'll be saying comes from those classes that he gave that are recorded in a book called The Art of Jewish Prayer. And either it comes from what he wrote or based on what he wrote. Okay, so the first bracha of the Shemona Esrei has a name. That first bracha that we start off saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu, right? The God and the God of our fathers. And we end up the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Blessed are you Hashem, again Avraham, Shield of Avraham. That first bracha of the Shemona Esrei has a name. It's called Avos. It's called the blessings of the fathers. It's the blessing in which we talk about the relationship that our forefathers, our patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had with Hashem, and how we benefit from that relationship. Now, as we mentioned before, the construct of the Shemona Esrei is that we have the first three blessings are blessings of praise. The middle 13 are blessings in which we make our requests. Then again, the last three, again, are blessings that we give thanks and praise to Hashem. And the first of the three blessings of praise, the very first bracha of the Shemona Esrei, as I said before, is called Avos, it's called fathers. Now, an important halacha that needs to be mentioned here is that when it comes to understanding the Shemona Esrei and being focused on the words of the Shemona Esrei, the minimum amount, so to speak, of Shemona Esrei that one has to understand and focus on is the first blessing of the Shemona Esrei. If you read the rest of the Shemona Esrei and you have no idea what you're saying, or theoretically you space out and you're not even focused and conscious of what you're doing, you've done it. Halachically, you're not obligated to repeat the Shemona Esrei. However, the very first bracha of the Shemona Esrei, you must know what it means. And you need to be focused on it. Otherwise, you would not be fulfilling your obligation of davening Shemona Esrei. So this first bracha is a very important one, as it's, you know, sets the stage. It's the first bracha, leads us into the Shemona Esrei. And again, it's called Avos. It is called the bracha of the fathers. And we begin first, but before we get into that portion about the fact that it is the bracha about the fathers, that This is going to lead into a discussion about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, what they accomplished, their relationship to Hashem, what we have from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Before we go through that, there's a couple of things we need to do. Number one, as Rabbi Kirzner points out, every one of the blessings of the Shemona Esrei corresponds to a historical event, corresponds to a certain historical event that took place. And the commentaries say that the first bracha of the Shemona Esrei, which again ends off Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham, relates to something in Avraham's life, historical event in Avraham's life. And that event is an event that we say Hashem was Magen Avraham. He was the shield of Avraham. So where was Hashem the shield of Avraham? The answer is, when Nimrod, the king Nimrod, wanted to kill Avraham, Avraham was spreading the belief in Hashem, and Nimrod was afraid that people would be influenced by Avraham because he was getting up publicly and talking about Hashem and arguing that people should believe in Hashem and they should forsake all the idols and all the pagan worships that they had. So Nimrod arrested Avraham, and he said, you know, if there is a God, let him save you. And he took him and threw him into a furnace. And Hashem performed the miracle, Avraham survived. And the Medrash says that when Avraham was saved from the furnace, from the burning furnace, the angels proclaimed, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham. When Hashem saved Avraham, the angels blessed Hashem for doing that. And that is the basis, that's the historical basis for this first bracha. That's the historical event of the first bracha corresponds to. Magen Avraham, the blessing of the fathers, corresponds to this event that Avraham was saved from the burning furnace. Now, another thing that he brings down, another source, a similar source, explains that the event that this bracha corresponds to is a different but similar event, something that that preparing this class right now, something new that I learned. And that is that the Torah records the story about the five kings and the four kings, right? The five kings rebelled against the four kings. They had a war. The four kings defeated the five kings. And when the four kings defeated the five kings, they took captive Lot, the nephew of Abraham who lived in Sodom. And when Abraham was told that Lot was taken captive, it says Abraham went to save him. And in order to save him, he basically himself had to destroy the four kings in order to free Lot. So the Torah tells us this story, right? And it always bothered me, what exactly is the point of the story? I mean, good, you see that Abraham, Hashem again, you know, helped Abraham. But the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says that the four kings, when they captured Lot, they had a very specific plan in mind. They knew that if they would capture Lot and Abraham would find out about it, Abraham would try to come and rescue him. And when Abraham would come to rescue him, they would kill Abraham. Because just like Nimrod wanted to get rid of Abraham, so did the four kings want to get rid of Abraham. They had the same intent. Their intent was to destroy Abraham and to stop what he was trying to do in spreading the belief of Hashem in this world. And when, again, Abraham was saved from the four kings, the angels proclaimed, Baruch atah Hashem, bless you Hashem, Magen Abraham, the shield of Abraham. And at the end of the bracha, when we say Baruch atah Hashem, Magen Avram, shield of Abraham, what we are saying is that the same way Hashem shielded Abraham and kept him alive so as to continue spreading the belief in Hashem, so too for Abraham's descendants, Hashem is the Magen Avraham. Hashem is the shield of Abraham's descendants. The same way Hashem shielded Abraham and allowed him to continue spreading the belief in Hashem, Hashem also is now the shield of Abram's descendants to allow them to be able to spread the belief of Hashem and to live the life of proclaiming the belief in Hashem. And there's a very interesting medrash that says, it's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim in English goes, we have a little sister. If she becomes a wall, silver pillars will come from her. Silver pillars will come from her. So the Medrash says that this pasuk is referring to Avraham, and the silver pillars, how do you say silver in Hebrew? Kesef. The word kesef means silver, it also means another thing. The word kesef, or lechsof, means to yearn for. From Avraham came pillars of silver, means became pillars of yearning. Pillars of yearning means that because Abraham dedicated himself, was willing to give up his life for the belief in Hashem, he now, because of that, he merited that his descendants would always have a yearning for Hashem. His descendants, those who carry on his legacy, referring to the Jewish people, always inside have a yearning for Hashem. You know what we call that? We call that the Pintel Yidn Yiddish. We call that spark of a Jew that's always there, no matter how far removed the Jew may be, there's always that spark that's there. And that spark can always be ignited to bring a person back to Hashem. And Avraham Avinu merited that his descendants should always have that spark because of his dedication to Hashem. So the same way Hashem was mugging Avraham, Hashem was the shield of Avraham, to allow him to be able to continue spreading the belief in Hashem, he is mugging Avraham to his descendants. He's a shield descendants of Avraham, that they too will always have within them the spark of Hashem to be able that even when they fall far away from Hashem, to be able to return to Hashem and again spread the belief in Hashem, represent Hashem in this world as Avraham did. Okay? So that's the first thing. The next thing is we have to talk about the words Baruch Atah Hashem. Right? Anytime you discuss Shema Esrei, you have to talk about, or any bracha, you have to talk about what does this word Baruch Atah Hashem mean? Blessed are you Hashem. What does that mean? Are we blessing Hashem? Hashem doesn't need our blessing, right? He doesn't need our blessing. On the contrary, we get the blessings from him. So what does it mean, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem? And the answer is, you know, if you think about using the English translation, blessed are you Hashem, The meaning of that is, as Reb Chaim Volozhin explains, it means the word Baruch, which we say means blessing, is related to the word Brecha. A Brecha is a spring where water flows from, water gushes from. Baruch Atah Hashem means that you, Hashem, are the source of all blessing. All blessing emanates from you. The first thing that we do when we open our conversation, anytime you open a conversation with someone, how do you do it? You don't just jump into the subject, right? We say, hello, how are you, right? The hello to the Rebbeinu Shalom to start the conversation is Baruch Atah Hashem. We recognize you, Hashem, are the source of all blessing. And as Rabbi Kirzner adds, it's not just a statement. It's not just an expression of our belief. It's actually a prayer in which every time we say Baruch Atah Hashem, you, Hashem, are the source of all blessing, we mean to say you are the source of all blessing. And we pray that you should continue to shower us with your blessing.
Good.
You should give us your blessing. Now, as much as Hashem wants to give us blessing, and he wants to be the source of all blessing, we have to be worthy recipients of his blessing. Hashem doesn't just give blessing, you know, on its own. We have to, Hashem wants to give us the blessing, and we could actually give Hashem the pleasure of being able to do so if we're worthy of that. We need to be worthy of being able to receive his blessing. So let me give you an example here. There's a very interesting Gemara that says the following. There was a Kohen Gadol named Rabbi Shmuel ben Avuya. I think it's Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, the Gemara says. And the Gemara says that it was Yom Kippur. And as the Kohen Gadol, he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he says that when he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he saw Hashem sitting on his throne. And what does Hashem say to him? Hashem says to him, Barcheni Bini, bless me, my son. Hashem says to the Kohen Gadol, bless me. Okay. And what does he respond? He responds basically, V'yagoylu rachamecha midasecha. Let your mercy overcome your attribute of judgment. Meaning, even if the Jewish people are not worthy, or there's a question of their worthiness, let your mercy overcome your judgment. Which means that number one, you see that Hashem says, bless me. And what does he answer? With a prayer. Hashem said, bless me. Why is he responding with a prayer? The answer is, because that's what bless me means. Hashem is saying to the Kohen Gadol, bless me. I want you to recognize me as the source of all blessing, and that the blessing should come forth. Do that. So what does he say? Let your mercy overcome your judgment. Now, at the same time, we know there is a concept of judgment. As much as Hashem wants to give, there are times that he carries out judgment and he doesn't give. Why doesn't he give? One of the reasons he doesn't give is because we may not be worthy of his gift. We may not be worthy of his blessing. And therefore, we always are hoping and striving that we should be worthy of that blessing. And therefore, whenever we say to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, what we are saying is, we're recognizing Hashem is the source of our blessing. We are asking him to continue blessing us. And we need to be committing that we will make ourselves worthy of that blessing. If we're asking him for the blessing, and we know that he gives us the blessing if we're worthy of it, we say to him, we're saying to the Rabbeinu Shalom, give us the blessing and we will strive to be worthy, to be the worthy recipient of your blessing. The first thing that we do to make ourselves worthy recipients is recognizing that everything comes from him. The next thing that we do is we say to the Rabbeinu Shalom, we commit that we will make ourselves worthy. And if we make that commitment, that makes us worthy of being his recipient. So this is what lies whenever we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we're saying you Hashem are the source of blessing. We pray that you continue being that source, and we commit to making ourselves worthy of being recipients of your blessing. Now, when the Kohen Gadol said to the Rabbeinu Shalom, V'yagoylu rachamecha midasecha, let your mercy overcome your judgment, That means to say that the Kohen Gadol recognizes that Hashem may be practicing judgment, which means he may not want to be the source of blessing. He may not want to shower the blessing to us. So what does the Kohen Gadol say? Have rachmanis, have mercy. What does it mean, have mercy? If we're not worthy, what does it mean, have mercy? I mean, are we asking Hashem? You're right, we're not worthy, but just have rachmanis on us. Is that what we're doing? So I believe what the explanation of that would be is that in essence, when we're not worthy to ask for rachmanis, what we're really saying to Hashem is, give us another chance. Give us what we need. Don't put us through the troubles of lacking what we need, and we commit to being better. We're trying to say to Rebbe Hashem, give it to us on credit. We're not worthy right now, but give it to us because we'll make ourselves worthy. And we need Hashem to decide to give us that chance. The prayer of the Kohen Gadol was that we know, Rebbe Hashem, that we need to be worthy recipients. And we may not be worthy, but have rachmanis. Have rachmanis. Give us another chance. Take care of our needs. Don't put us to the test of not having our needs taken care of. And give us another chance, and we commit to another chance. So that is what lies when we say the words, Baruch Ato Hashem. All right. So blessed are you, Hashem. You, Hashem, are the source of all blessing. Elokeinu, our God. Our God means that every one of us has the ability to have a relationship with Hashem that we can say he is our God. You know, the whole Shemona Esrei is said in plural form because we're saying it as one nation. But it's not just talking about in a national way, right? It means an individual way also. Elokeinu, he is our God. Every one of us has the ability through our unique personality and makeup to have our relationship with Hashem. Ve'elokei aviseinu, and he is the God of our fathers. The God of our fathers means that our fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they also formed a unique relationship with Hashem. And then we say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Now we just called him the God of our fathers, right? And then again we say, the God of Avraham, and the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. Why the repetition? And why not just say, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So the answer is, as we will explain, is that by saying Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that means to say, or to stress, that each one of them came to their recognition of Hashem in their own way. It's not only Avraham recognized Hashem, and Yitzchak and Yaakov just kind of took on after their father and grandfather. Each one in his unique way came to his own recognition of Hashem and created a unique bond with Hashem. And when we say our God and the God of our forefathers, we're saying, the first step we're saying is, we have to forge a relationship. And we're going to forge a relationship just like our forefathers forged a relationship. Each one making his own relationship, as spelled out, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Now, let's talk about here, what does it mean that each one of the Avos forged his own unique relationship with Hashem? Now we know that each one of the Avos, each one of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you know, they excelled, and they represent a certain trait. The trait that Avraham represents is the trait of Chesed. Avraham represents Chesed. Yitzchak represents Gvura, strength, or Din, judgment, so to speak. Where Hashem. Chesed is where Chesed is giving. Gevura is actually the strength to hold back giving, the strength of self-control. Judgment is where Hashem wants to give, but Hashem holds back because he knows that's what he has to do. Yaakov represents the truth, the trait of Emes, learning, Emes, truth. Others say, others describe it as Tiferes, beauty. Each one of them had a certain personality. Each one had a certain unique personality, and through that personality, they recognized Hashem. When Avraham recognized Hashem, when he came to the belief in Hashem, when he recognized Hashem, he recognized the kindness that exists in the creation. He looked at a world. There is so much kindness in this world. Where did the kindness come from? It came from the Creator, who is all kind and all giving. Abraham, you know, people see things through their personality. Abraham's personality was chesed, was kindness, was giving. And when he looked at the world and he saw all the kindness that exists in the world, he came, he understood it doesn't happen on its own. There has to be the Creator. There has to be the being that controls all this kindness and does all this kindness. That is how Abraham recognized Hashem. And when he emulated Hashem, that's what he practiced. Yitzchak had a different personality. Yitzchak's personality was gevura, was strength. It was actually the idea of control, self-control, where a person follows din, the letter of the law, and he basically only receives if he deserves it. If you're deserving, you get. If you're not deserving, you may not get. That trait does exist, as we said. To really deserve Hashem's kindness, we need to be worthy of it. Yitzchak represented that. He represented that idea of living a kind of life where you follow din. You have to follow the letter of the law and be worthy of getting. And if you're not going to be worthy, then there is no getting. There is no giving and there's no getting. And that is what he saw. He saw in the world a certain power of Hashem. He saw the power of judgment. He saw the power of Hashem holding back when necessary. That is what the idea of holding back when necessary. This was Yitzchak's trait of righteousness. And he perceived Hashem in that way. And when he came to the recognition of Hashem, this was what he saw in Hashem. Yaakov is called Emes. Yaakov is the synthesis between Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham is giving. Yitzchak is holding back. Yaakov was able to take both and put them together. And that's Emes. It's not Emes. That's the Emes. To take these two contradictory traits and put them together and make them as one, that's the emes, that's the truth, and that's teferes, that's the beauty. This was Yaakov's trait of being able to take both those traits, put them together, that was part of his personality, and this is what he actually, this is how he perceived the Ribbono Shel Olam. Each one of them came on their own to the recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and each one recognized the Ribbono Shel Olam based on different traits, on different attributes, rather, different attributes. Av recognizes Hashem in chesed, Yitzchak in gevura, in judgment, in strict judgment, Yaakov in emes, in truth. And the same way that each one of the others created their own unique relationship with Hashem, we also need to do that. We also have to see who we are, recognize who we are, and through our unique personality and being, forged a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then how do we do that? Where do we learn how to do that? Where do we learn how to make that relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam? We model ourselves after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That is where we get the know-how. That is where we get the example of how we will create our unique relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And as we'll see, it's more than just the fact they are a model. Actually, every one of their traits and their strength lies within us. We are their children. Their traits, they passed on to us. And therefore, again, when we're going to summon from within ourselves the strengths that we inherited from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we're going to channel those strengths through our personality and our unique being into forming that relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, v'Elokei Yaakov. It's the idea that we have to forge our own relationship with Hashem, just as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did, and we model our relationship based on the lives of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, next. Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibar, v'Hanoira. The God who is great, that's Gadol, Hagibar, the God who is powerful, Vahanoir, and the God who is awesome. Okay, so what do these three words mean? Great, powerful, awesome. You know, they all sound good, but what do they mean exactly? So the Zohar says that similar to the traits of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, these are the meanings of Gadol, Gibar, Vahanoira. Gadol, great. The greatness of God, when we say that God is great, that means he is great in kindness. He is great in the way that he is always giving to everything in the world. That's his greatness. His greatness manifests itself in the kindness and the benefit that he does for the world. Gevura, strength. Right? Hagibar, he's strong. Strong means that if the Rebbeinu Shalom decides that he's going to withhold the giving and he's going to practice strict judgment, that he's going to do that. And we see that. We see Hashem's greatness in that. Hashem's power in that. Whenever we witness a certain level of justice in the world through punishment, through catastrophes, through things that happen, we see the strength of Hashem in that sense of, you know, when Hashem decides that he's not going to give and on the contrary, he's going to punish, you know, we see that this is where his strength manifests itself. And in a deeper sense, the strength is the fact that he wants to give so much and he holds it back. That's also a sense of gvura, strength, the ability to have self-control. And Noira, awesome, is when you see the beauty. When you look at the beautiful world, the beautiful creation, you look how everything comes together, you see the truth of things. Truth is a beautiful thing. When you can recognize the trueness of the truth of the existence, the absolute permanence, the absolute existence of Hashem, an existence that doesn't come onto anything, not dependent on anything, it's all on its own. It's all on its own, and that being is all on its own, and the beautiful world and the beautiful things that he does, that creates awe. Then we're in awe of Hashem. When we see the beauty and the truth of that he puts in the world, that puts us in awe of him. So those are these three words of Hakel. The Hakel means the mighty, the almighty. Hagadol, the great. Hagibar, the powerful, of Anoira, the awesome. Kel Elyon. Kel Elyon means most high. Most high means that at the end of the day, there is no way that we can fully comprehend Hashem. You can't fully comprehend. Hashem is way too high for us to fully comprehend his essence. At the same time, we still use those words, Hagadol, Hagibar, Vaneira, because we do have to try to understand Hashem in our terms. And the reason we have permission to use those words is because, you know who used those words to describe Hashem? Hagadol, Hagibar, Vaneira? Moshe Rabbeinu did. Habibus in Parshas Vatzchanan. He refers to Hashem as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar, Vaneira. You know, on our own, perhaps, we wouldn't have the ability to say those words. Because if we give Hashem a, so to speak, physical description, that means we're creating limit, right? And Hashem has no limit. It's Kel Elyon. He's above everything else. He's beyond all limits. He's beyond our comprehension. But we have permission to use those words to describe him because Moshe Rabbeinu did it. The Torah did it. So therefore, we can do it too. So Kel Elyon, he's the God above everything else, most high, beyond our comprehension. No matter what it is that we see of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in the world, that we need to see his actions in the world, Hashem is essentially, he and his actions are really beyond our comprehension. Okay, next. Goimel chasadim toivim. He does acts of loving kindness. Okay, now, Rabbi Kurzner explains that, you know, we just described Hashem as Kel Elyon, most high. The essence of Hashem is really beyond our comprehension. So we might have thought, well, if that's what God is, then if he's so high up and we're so low, he doesn't bother with us. He would be too aloof to bother with us. But no, Kel Elyon, he's most high, Goimel Chasadim Tovim. But he does acts of loving kindness. No matter how high and beyond our comprehension he is involved in our lives, he wants to be involved in our lives, and he does kindness. Now, it's very interesting to note that we describe these kindnesses as Chasadim Tovim. Good kindnesses. Are there bad kindnesses? Usually you refer to a kindness as a good thing. Why do we have to stress chasadim tayvim, good kindnesses? You don't want a bad kindness. But the explanation would be that essentially there is such a thing as a bad kindness. There could be such a thing as a bad kindness. Because sometimes you can do a favor for someone and you think you're doing them a favor and you're really not.
That's right.
They're really not. Or at some level, it's not a kindness. For instance, you do a person a favor, you give him tzedakah. That's a kindness, right? But it's also embarrassing. It could also be embarrassing for the person. So you're trying to do the right thing, but you can't be guaranteed it's complete. You can't be guaranteed that it's completely good. By the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, every kindness is completely good. It's another way of stressing how Hashem is not in any way limited by human limits. His kindnesses are tovim. There is no doubt and there's no place to say that there's anything lacking in his kindness. His kindness are completely good. Okay? So that's what it means, chasadim tovim, good kindnesses. V'kone hakol. What does v'kone hakol mean? We will follow interpretation of v'kone hakol. V'kone can mean owns. It's also used to mean create. So v'kone hakol, and he is the creator of everything. What do we mean by that? Now, what do we mean by saying now, we just said he does acts of kindness, and he's the creator of everything. What's the flow here? What's the continuity here? And the answer is that by first saying he does acts of kindness, and then saying he created everything, we're declaring that there is no limit to the kindness that he can do. If he created everything, he put everything into order, that he can do anything. There's no limit to his kindness. That's one explanation. He does kindness, he creates everything. If he creates everything, there's no limit to the kindness that he can do. Another explanation that he brings, which I think is a very interesting one, is that how is it that we know that Hashem does acts of kindness? How do we know that? You know how we know that? The answer is v'kone hakol, because he created everything. The fact that Hashem created the world shows us that he does acts of loving kindness. What's the connection? Because why did Hashem create the world? So remember, Reish Chaim Letzate writes, Hashem created the world. He didn't need a world. But Hashem created a world to be able to share his goodness. Hashem is the ultimate tov, the ultimate good, and he wanted to share that goodness. He wanted to create a world, lehetiv, to do good with something else. So the whole purpose of creation is to do good. The whole purpose of creation is to share of his good to a creation. Now, if that's what the world's about, then that means Hashem does kindnesses. If the world was created for kindness, then that means that if that's what the world was about, lehetiv, to benefit, to give to a creation, that means that everything that happens in the creation is all about giving. It's all about benefiting. Even if we don't necessarily understand how it is good and beneficial. But if that's what the world was created for, that means that everything is about kindness. Everything is about Hashem giving to us. So those would be that's another way of explaining the connection of Gomel Chasadim Tovim. He does kind acts that are good. The Kone Akol, and he created everything.
But we believe in all exactly purpose of creation?
That is as much as we know. That is what's been passed down. The purpose of creation, why did Hashem create a world? Why? You can still always ask the why. The why doesn't stop. But at the end of the day, we are to be, and from our perception, we are supposed to see that Hashem created a world, lehetiv, to benefit something other than him. To bring into being something called a creation, and to sustain that creation, and to be able to give of his goodness to that creation. Now, next thing we say is v'zocher chaste avos. He remembers chaste, literally means the kindnesses of the father. Sometimes they translate chaste as piety of the patriarchs. But this is a very important idea. What are we saying when we say v'zeicher chaste avos? He remembers the kindnesses of the fathers. So what is this concept of remembering the kindnesses, and what do these kindnesses mean? So we're probably going to have to continue this more next time. But what we're referring to here is what's called schus avos, right? We find Moshe Rabbeinu, when he needed to daven on behalf of the Jewish people, he evoked the merit of the Abbas, of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. This is what we're doing. We're davening Shemayna Esrei. We're invoking their merit. And we're saying to Hashem, do for us in their merit. So the question is, what does it mean exactly? Is this called protexia? You know, my father, we have connections, so to speak, to God. We have the in, our fathers were big machas by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And therefore, when we need something, we get it from him because we have protexia, because we have protection. We have the in, which means, are we worthy? Maybe not. But we got an in because our fathers are Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Is that what it means? So Rabbi Kurzer says that's not what it means. And like I say, we'll have to elaborate next time what it means. But what it really means, the way he explains it is that what we're saying to Rabbeinu Shalom is, look, we may not be worthy, but we have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov within us. Their greatness is within us. There's a potential that we have. If we're the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that there is a potential of greatness within us that we inherited from them. And therefore, even though we're not actually worthy, be merciful on us for our potential. Look at our potential. Give us another chance because of our potential.
Like,
right, we have the potential to become like them. And therefore, again, it's not just about invoking their merit and, they have the in and therefore we're okay. At the end of the day, we need to come on to them, right? And it's that potential of their strength within us that Hashem says, okay, I'll give you another chance. But it never works just for free. It never works without our merits. But rather, our merits are the potential of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that lies in each and every one of us.